This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
Yes, in fact, we wanted to talk to the jolly old elf himself on this edition of The Insider. Unfortunately, he got stuck in a chimney somewhere, is now suffering from Santa claustrophobia.
You have to stop. Just stop right
now. Thank you. Ariel Helwani from jerrypark.com. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I can't think of a better way to spend my Tuesday afternoon. And unlike John, I love your jokes.
Thank you. I knew there was that one person out there that is actually deaf that enjoys my sense of humor. I appreciate that very much, Ariel. Ariel, you've been spending a lot of time in the air lately, or racking up the miles, whether by air, by car, by planes, trains, and automobiles, what have you. You were at the HDNet Fights card in Dallas, Texas on Saturday night, I understand. What was your take on Mark Cuban's MMA organization's sophomore effort?
I loved it, Mauro. The reason I went down there is because I really believe that HDNet is actually going to be a viable competitor in the world of mixed martial arts. I don't think that, you know, their first show was, the jury was still out, but I think with this show, Reckless Abandon, that they just had last Saturday night, I think they hit a home run. Sure, some of the fights were a little kind of boring, but overall, the Mayhem Kennedy fight was great. I thought Eve Edwards did a great job. Pete Spratt did a great job. The one black eye of the whole event was the Robert Viegas incident where he kept flopping. I felt as though I was watching Nash and Hogan all over again. But, you know, you're going to have that from time to time. And I must say for fans out there, if you're ever thinking of going to see a live MMA event, definitely check out HDNet Fights. In the crowd, only, you know, in the arena, they have Tim Hughes and Matt Lindland talking to the crowd, giving analysis between the rounds. It's a great experience, and if someone is really looking to learn more about MMA, I definitely suggest checking it out.
Ariel, how does it differ from, let's say, the IFL presentation or the Elite XC presentation? I mean, obviously the UFC seems to be, you know, rightfully so, the top dog, but even though their live presentation was a work in progress for so many years, but when you talk about the being there live at an HDNet fights, and I've read other reports and talked to people who were there, they like the fact that it was more sport and not so much the entertainment aspect, not so much the scantily clad girls around the cage and taking away the attention from the fighters. Was that why you're also a fan of it, more of an athletic competition or athletic event, as it were?
Well, actually, I think it was a bit of both. As I mentioned on my live blog, cheap plug alert on jerrypark.com, I like the fact that there were no ring card girls. I love the fact that they had some class in it all. But at the same time, we have Mayhem Miller coming out in a luchador mask and costume. That's great. I mean, they're not taking themselves too seriously. They have the analysis between rounds. And I was actually at UFC 78. It was in my backyard of Newark, New Jersey, here where I live now. And I must say, I thought the production of HDNet Fights, well, I know they're looking to improve in February. I just did an interview with Mark Cuban, and he said that, you know, he's looking to change a few things for the next show on February 15th, I believe the exact date is. I thought it was a better presentation. They definitely need to change the way the guys come out. The fighters come out. It's too weird having them stand right next to each other. But I like the octagon. And then when I watched, or excuse me, not the octagon, but the cage that they...
You don't want to get sued there, Ariel.
Exactly.
Don't get sued, buddy.
I watched it on HDNet afterwards, and I thought, they have some great camera angles. It looks great on HD, something that the UFC can't say that they have their shows on Spike. They're going to be doing that next year. But for now, HDNet is the only one producing HD shows on regular cable. Obviously, Elite XC does it on premium cable, but that's a whole other thing. I think that having Cuban walking around talking to the fans before the event, he's very visible. He's out there. It's a very fan-friendly show, and I highly recommend checking it out. And Trig Mayhem in February is going to be great.
We are talking with Ariel Helwani at jerrypark.com. We also, as mentioned, have Loretta Hunt of the Fight Network in studio, and we're going to bring her into this little conversation now. And Loretta, if you have a question for Ariel, go right ahead or make a comment.
Hi, Ariel. How are you?
Loretta, great to speak with you again.
Good to speak to you too, buddy. I was curious, what exactly was Matt Lindland talking to the crowd about? I've heard about this. A couple promotions are thinking of the idea of, you know, to fill the moments in between the fights, doing some kind of educational type thing. Can you explain exactly what Matt Lindland and his associate were doing with the crowd?
Absolutely. It was Matt Lindland and Tim Hughes who they called the sport fight event, and they would put up on the big screen CompuStrike numbers, and they would break it down for everyone. They'd say, okay, well, you know, this guy, Eve Edwards, you know, threw this many strikes, landed this many, his percentage was this. Hughes would ask Lindland, okay, what did you think of his approach in round one? I mean, they were breaking it down better, in my opinion, than the way Kenny Rice and his partner were doing it on the HD show. I would love if they were calling the events. I mean, no disrespect to Kenny and Boston, what they do, but I thought that they did one of the best jobs of breaking it down. And really, you had the sense that they were talking to, you know, fans that were kind of getting introduced to the sport. I mean, they weren't breaking down with huge technical terms and whatnot, but they were telling you what the highlights were. They would replay, you know, the key moments of the fight. I thought it was great, and the fans would actually respond to it, and actually in between fights, they would have guys like Arlovski come in. They would have guys like Couture. We saw those interviews that they had on HD, but these were separate interviews where they had a chance to talk to them more. So there was never a dull moment in the crowd. It was great. I loved it.
This was always one of my concerns with the UFC, and I've talked to them about it. They've gotten better over it with it over the years, but there's always so much dead space for the live crowd in between fights. So it's interesting to see Mark Cuban's thinking of that. He's trying to think outside the box. I've also heard some other promotions are thinking of putting video things in or audio listening devices and the seats to
enhance the
experience.
Yeah, Art of War did that, actually, in Dallas.
How did that go?
From what I heard, it was all right because you had the, it's like, I guess, what they use when you're at a border crossing or whatever. You have traffic, those FM signals that are very weak signals, but you can use them in a building, and you're hearing commentary of the fights while you're watching it, which, to tell you the truth, and this is what I wanted to talk to Ariel about, to play devil's advocate, what's the fighters and their corners' reaction to this chatter going on between rounds? I think it's great for the crowd, but has it been a distraction at all to any of the fighters who are getting, let's say, their asses kicked or something, where, you know, do they need to hear these guys breaking down their fight while it's taking place?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I actually asked a couple of the fighters. I was curious whether it bothered them, their corners, as well as the broadcasters, and they all said no. I mean, they're in a zone. In between rounds, they're listening to their corner. They're focused on what they have to do. I mean, you never even hear them talking back to their corners when you see it on TV. They're very focused. So it actually didn't bother them at all. And, you know, most importantly, as Mark told me and Guy Metzger told me, they're into producing a good television show. You know,
right.
They're looking at this above and beyond, bigger than just an MMA promotion. They want to put out a good product on television. And part of that is putting on a good product for the live fans so that they will go home and think well about this promotion the next time they can't attend a live event. You know, they'll have good thoughts and they'll say, okay, these guys were focused on giving me a good show when I was there and when I paid the money to go watch it in person. So I think, again, a great idea, and I wish that the UFC would do this because more fans are being introduced to the sport, and they need to know, and especially when you're sitting up in there in the nosebleeds, you miss a few things.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a guy breaking it down in between rounds, I think it helps everyone.
Definitely, and I'm just wondering now, in terms of the quality of the event inside the cage, we had guys like Frank Trigg involved, Edwin Deweese, Jason Mayhem Miller, Eve Edwards. I mean, there's some well-known names involved there, but the quality of the event overall, how, you know, what would you compare it to? Is it comparable to a great UFC card? Is it comparable to an IFL show, an Elite XC show? What would you make the comparison to?
First of all, is HD paying me to give them such great compliments?
Well, hey, if you like it, you know what? That's the one thing I like about this show. I mean,
Mark Cuban's going to be pleased with you. We've got one fan in area.
No, but if he enjoyed it, that's the thing. We got to be subjective and objective. But I mean, we're always bashing on a lot of things these days, so it's nice to hear a good feel good story, if you will.
No, you know, let's be real. I mean, this was not one of the great UFC cards. It doesn't hold up to some of the great shows we've had this past year or last year, but it was okay. I mean, what can you expect from Mayhem Miller and Tim Kennedy? I mean, Tim Kennedy, a lot of fans are just hearing about him. This is a guy who's fighting in the undercard, or maybe not even fighting in the undercard if the internet reports are true, of the IFL Grand Prix. And Mayhem, you know, he's had a few wins under his belt, lately, consecutively, but still a star that's yet to break out. You had Frank Trigg trying to reinvent himself now with Extreme Couture, Eve Edwards, he's bad. It was kind of like, a second coming for a lot of these guys. I mean, a lot of guys who are trying to sort of reinvent their careers, trying to improve. And the thing that I liked about it, and Mara, as you know, I told you last time, was that I look at the world through pro wrestling goggles, so
yes.
I like the fact that they were kind of giving younger guys the rub. Unfortunately, Tristan Yuncker kind of dropped the ball with not making weight and didn't really put up a good performance against Pete Spratt. But putting him up against a guy like Pete Spratt is great for him. You have a guy like Edwin Deweys up against Frank Trigg, giving him that opportunity to maybe make a bigger name for himself. So I thought overall it was comparable to any Elite XT show. It wasn't up there yet with the UFC, but like I say on my website all the time, you've got Mark Cuban backing this promotion. So I really, really think that things are to come for HGNet Fight.
No doubt. All right. We're going to talk pro wrestling. And I know, Loretta, you're just chomping at the bit to get involved in this pro wrestling conversation. But
yes,
before
I've got so much to say about pro wrestling. That's for
before
sure.
Before we get there, we got
the
Adam. Yeah, Adam is on the line. Adam, how are you? I understand you have a comment about Travis Luter. Go ahead, sir. You're with Ariel Helwani, Loretta Hunt, and Mauro Ranallo. Three for the price of one today.
Yo, 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 yo,
yo, yo, yo, hey, it's a holiday season. It's a holiday season. It's ho, ho, ho.
Oh, sorry. Ho,
okay.
Ho, ho.
There we go.
What's up, Mauro? Yo, what is this bullshit with him, Luter? I mean, the guy couldn't make weight.
I agree.
Dana hates people who don't make weight, and he can't make weight for a title fight, and here he is coming
back.
You're
preaching to the choir
this
here.
This is what Mauro and I were talking about on the way over to the studio.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Travis Luter, and again, from what Loretta's told me, and I'm a big fan of the fact that, you know, he's done very well for himself in his career. I don't think he's all that marketable. In fact, I find him to be very boring personality.
That's
and then
boring.
Here it is, your one opportunity at a chance of a lifetime, and Ariel and Loretta, you guys can mention this. He doesn't make weight for a world title fight. I mean, give me a break. That's enough. Bye-bye. I don't, you know, if there was a medical reason or whatever, then you deal with it. But just not to make weight, I'm sorry, but I'm not looking forward to Travis Luter being in the octagon anytime soon.
Right. Well, what I get is the human perspective. I get to talk to Travis. I was there when he didn't make weight. It was very devastating to watch. And I'm not saying what he did was right. I think he dropped the ball and he let a lot of fans down. The only thing is he signed to a contract with the UFC.
Right.
He's about seven fights left with the UFC. They have to use him or they have to pay him. They can't.
That opens up a whole other can of worms, does it not?
Do we not need some middleweights running around right
now?
Yeah,
you're right.
That
you're
are
right.
Viable?
Ariel, what's your take on the whole Travis Luter situation?
Luter is being served up as a jobber right now to try to rebuild the career of Rich Franklin. I mean, sure, they can put it down on the undercard and the untelevised portion of UFC 82 or whenever the show is going to be. But, I mean, the UFC has a lot invested in Rich Franklin. I don't think that they want to sort of throw him to the side just yet. So you put up a guy like Travis Luter who you can sort of market this fight as, okay, here's a guy who lost his chance. He was kind of an embarrassment in the main event against Anderson Silva, came out looking all pale with a shaved head, and actually put up a pretty good performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, Travis Luter put up the best fight against Anderson Silva. Travis has been the only fighter so far that's been able to show that Anderson has a couple holes.
Right.
No one's been able to capitalize on it yet.
So imagine if he would have made weight.
Imagine if Travis had won that night. There was a moment there sitting cage side where I'm like, you know what, Travis Luter might be able to pull this off.
So that is why I'm interested in seeing this fight, because you have a great storyline here. You have this guy who's getting his second chance. It's going to be almost a year since we've seen him fight in the UFC against Franklin, who's lost twice in a row now, pretty embarrassingly to Anderson Silva. His last opponent, Luter's, was Anderson Silva. You've got a great storyline here, and as you know, Mauro, I'm all about the storyline.
You are all about many storylines, and you know what? We had so much fun giving Mark Cuban all that praise that I wanted to talk to you about Vince McMahon going crazy again last night, but we're gonna have to save it for now. But in fact, you know what? We were supposed to have Big John McCarthy join us in studio for the extended version of the final countdown. He had to go and do other media appearances. Ariel, if you don't mind, we're going to get you to call us back. John, do you want to give him a shout back, and we'll bring you back on, and we can talk about a little wrestling and everything else. You've been fabulous as always. Adam, thank you very much for your call.
Go
ahead.
What's up Show XC?
Show XC, January 25th, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Paul Daly and Mike Ina, the rumored...
Taj Mahal,
Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. You better be there.
I will be
announcing with the fight professor, Stephen Quadros.
Got any tickets?
I might. You gotta sing the praises of Fight Network Radio a little bit louder than you've been doing, Adam.
Oh, come on.
Come on, buddy.
Me,
I wanna see banners hanging from that Brooklyn Bridge.
You gotta clear this one rumor up for me.
Yes.
Is the suits up in Showtime tell you to drop the yo-yo-yo, because when I heard you drop that at the last couple of events, it literally broke my heart. I mean, and Away We Go just doesn't have the same ring to it without the yo-yo-yo.
Let's just say that I'm not going to touch that. Thanks a lot, Ariel. We're going to call you back in a few minutes, buddy. We're going to bring you back on the radio. How's that for a politically correct answer, sir? How's that for a self-preservation?
I wouldn't touch it with a 25-cent meter pole or a 25-centimeter ruler either.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd love to be back.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to get you back on. That's Ariel Helwani, jerrypark.com. Loretta, stick around. We're coming back with more. We're going to talk to Marcolangelo as well from TKO and a good friend of Hein Gracie. It's all coming up right here on Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186.